Welcome to the Lucrative Podcast, episode number 11. And what an episode we've got for you lined up very shortly. Found myself saying something just before as I was setting up, a word that I haven't said in a very long time, probably in a good 5 or 6 years. Cool beans. Just found myself saying that right now as I was setting up for this recording, and I don't know where it came from either. It must have just been the sheer joy of managing to actually figure out how to use my P4 that I've got on my desk. This is the thing that I've got my microphone plugged into, and then that goes into my computer, and then this is where all this lovely audio comes from. And I'm still trying to figure my way around it a little bit. Like, sometimes it works. You know that kind of device that you've got where sometimes it works just fine and it's absolutely great, and then other times it just nags you to no end and you just wonder why it isn't working for some reason? Well, that is the relationship that I have with my P4 that sits on my desk here. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's completely up to it and how it feels, I think, sometimes. I don't know why I've given it such a personality, but there you go. Hope you've been having a good week, as per usual. I hope you've been able to get up to plenty of great stuff and make some time to do the small stuff, if that makes any sense. Something I've been considering a lot recently, been finding myself quite busy, but I think I'm actually getting a little bit better at making some time for myself and just doing the small things, you know, like dropping a record on the turntable, playing some cassettes, or going for walks and all that kind of thing. I think I'm just starting to finally manage my time a little bit better, which is something refreshing. But don't get me wrong, I love recording and all that kind of stuff. And we've been doing plenty of that this week. We've got quite a few episodes in the bank. And this is one of those sessions, actually, that I'm going to be sharing with you today. And it was a wonderful chat that I had with a musician called Mabe. If you haven't checked her out already, go and check her out. All of her social media details and all that good stuff are going to be in the show notes for this episode, so go and check that out. And she's also got a new song that's coming out very soon that's called Eyeliner, so that is definitely going to be one to watch out for on her social medias. I first heard Maeve, actually, on Radio Cumbria. She was one of the BBC introducing acts, and I just heard one of her songs that was played called Drizzle Drizzle, and I just thought instantly, this girl would be absolutely great to have on the show, and so dropped her a message, and here we are now with episode number 11, and Maeve was awesome. She was just a great guest. This was actually the first podcast that she'd done, and she was great at it. Just had loads of insightful stuff to talk about. I just really enjoyed listening to her creative process and how she approaches music and the writing and all of that kind of thing, but also as well just how she deals with certain musical themes and where she gets the inspiration from. Really cool chat, really cool guest, and I think you're going to really like her as well. So let's get into it. Episode number 11 of Lucrative with Mabe.
There's been some amazing people on the radio show on BBC Introducing.
Yeah, there certainly has been, hasn't there? That was how one of your songs got played recently. That was actually the first song that I heard of yours was when I heard it on Radio Cumbria. Great opportunity and something that it sounds like you got a lot out of. But yeah, just talk me through what it was like applying to it, how you heard about it, and yeah, just what it was like.
Yeah, it's been... I mean, BBC Introducing is like probably the best thing you could use as an independent artist. It's an amazing service, really. Been really lucky to have been supported so much by BBC Introducing in Cumbria, especially with Tom Salmon choosing my two songs to be tracks of the week. Yes, it's amazing. Did my first ever live interviews. It's been a really good experience. And then that's not even mentioned in the BBC Radio 2 play of my first song, Kitchen Tile.
Of course, yeah, you were on there as well, weren't you?
Yeah. So it's just, it's amazing kind of support to have, and a really good way of getting heard and getting some airplay.
Yeah, it just must have been incredible. What was it like hearing one of your songs on the radio for the first time?
Oh, it was really cool. Yeah, it was amazing. And yeah, it's played by Joe Wiley on like prime time. It was really cool.
Yeah,
Good
that
moment.
That must have been amazing as well, because she plays so much great music, doesn't she?
Yeah, it was kind of surreal actually.
How long have you been around London for a while, or is it somewhere that you've just sort of gravitated to over COVID, or what's the deal?
I was up in Glasgow for a couple of years, and then when COVID hit, I moved down to my parents' house in Cumbria, and I was there for all of lockdown, and then moved to London just in October.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, so it's
Yeah.
not been that long, but I'm studying a part-time master's course down here and working part-time as well.
Oh, cool.
Which
What are you studying?
Music.
Music.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Nice, nice. Where's that,
Yeah.
where are you studying at?
At Goldsmiths.
Oh, yeah. So that's a very good one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good. But obviously with COVID, it's a bit strange.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how does that dynamic work when so much of it is like kind of feeding off other people, isn't it? Not only just sort of from the educational side of things, but also just with music as well. You need that sort of connection with other players and what have you.
It's been quite difficult actually. Yeah, because obviously that's so important. Now things are kind of back on, you can go to the studio and meet up with people. And even during the lockdown, it was quite nice because people would WhatsApp each other on the group and try and meet up for a drink and stuff when it was allowed. So it kind of forced you to be a bit more proactive about it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, it just kind of forces you to sort of be human again, doesn't it? When so much of it is like having to be separated and all of that kind of thing. What were the kind of aspects of it that you enjoyed though? Because we've kind of found ourselves a bit, well, when I've been talking to musicians, it's kind of ended up gravitating towards talking about the lockdown and all that kind of thing. And although we're kind of sick of talking about it in some ways, it's still interesting to sort of hear how people have been sort of using it to their advantage, obviously with live stream gigs. And is it something that you dived into much, or did you prefer just to keep working on songwriting and putting out material?
I definitely got into it more towards the beginning. I would try and take part in lots of live stream events, and that was really good because normally I would never turn up to these things in real life. So that was quite nice. But then, yeah, I think as time went on, I just, you know, lost the motivation to do that kind of thing. But yeah, a lot of music writing, a lot of finishing off songs, and a lot of preparing for releases. Yeah, so it's been quite a good time just to kind of get your head down, really.
Yeah, and just sort of get focused again, isn't it? With just like having, like we were talking about before, just having a little bit of stability now. It's good to sort of just find the focuses that have been coming forward. How have you found things like shaping up so far? Is it looking like it's going to be particularly busy for you, like putting out loads of stuff, or are you just being a little bit more selective about what's going out?
No, it's quite a busy time actually. It's an exciting time. So I'm working on an EP at the moment, and I've released two songs from that already, and got five more to go. So it's quite a big EP.
Wow.
Bit traditional, but
yeah,
I've been sitting on like stacks of songs for years, so I just wanted to kind of release as many as I could this time around. I did a music video for the first time, like a proper music video, which was really fun. Kind of organized it all with this amazing filmmaker called Anna. So that was really, really busy time, and it taught me a lot about that side of things, like getting a stylist and all these things I've never done before.
It must have been such a cool experience. That like talk me through it. What was it? What were your kind of feelings about doing a proper like music video?
I kind of just thought it would really fit the song. It was for a song called Kitchen Tiles, which was obviously about dancing on the kitchen. Well, that's not very obvious, but it was about dancing on the kitchen floor, as a lot of lockdown songs are, I think.
Certainly is, yeah. Or being alone in the bedroom and that kind of thing. There's not too many singing about the joys of DIY or tiles and that kind of thing. So maybe that's like a fresh new outlook.
I'm definitely not one for the joys of DIY, I have to say.
Maybe, but that's, yeah, one so for the bank. Maybe an idea down the line or something. I don't know.
Maybe 40 years. Yeah, so I thought the video would fit the song really well. And we had a couple of dancers up on a rooftop in London, which was had this beautiful sunset. So that was amazing. Yeah, it was just exciting, really, and it kind of motivated me to do more.
Oh, that's really
cool. It's quite
cool.
Nice having like a visual to go with the song that you've worked so hard on. Kind of brings it all together, I think.
It does, yeah, and it kind of, I imagine it helps tell the story as well. Like you've already got so much in the lyrics, but having that visual aspect just sort of helps you to move it along a bit. How did you find the choreographed elements? Did you come from like doing lots of dancing in school and college or that kind of thing, or was it a bit of a learning curve?
Luckily, I didn't have to choreograph anything. We had these two amazing dancers who choreographed the whole thing. They do contemporary dance. So yeah, they choreographed this beautiful dance, which worked really well. And then I was just kind of in the other scenes, swaying a little bit.
Nice, nice. Brilliant. Did you were there like backing dancers or what was going on?
No. So it was just those two on the roof, and then there were some shots of me in this like a venue. We had the venue to ourselves. We had this amazing lighting engineer who, you know, made everything look beautiful. And that was it, really. Just quite a simple but striking video.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. I can't wait to have a look at that and see. Is it already out now, or is that, coming out? That's out at the minute.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, yeah, I'll have to go and check that out after this and see what it's like. We were talking to someone really early on in the show. She was another artist from London. Holly Gautier was her name. And she was talking about creating a music video, and she talked about like how she put up all of the funding for it herself. But in the early days, she was actually looking for getting some investment, some sort of backing from a producer or that kind of thing. What was the route that you went through?
I applied for some funding from Help Musicians, a charity, if you don't know them, called Help Musicians. And they were doing this round of funding called COVID Do It Differently. And it's to kind of, I think it was a new type of funding that they'd started because of COVID, for all artists who'd been, you know, affected by the pandemic and wanted to kind of do things a bit differently.
Oh, cool.
So maybe if that was like a focus on more of a marketing focus, or, you know, things that you wouldn't have necessarily done because the live thing was taken away. So I was really lucky to get that. And that has kind of changed my whole outlook really on releasing music, because before that I would kind of just release a song every now and then just see what happened. And then, you know, nothing would really. And then even just writing the application to get this funding, I had to come up with a whole budget breakdown and a whole strategy and timeline and everything. And that was just kind of so useful for me, because I'd never done that before.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it just changed my whole outlook, and I started to think of it more as a business as opposed to just, oh, I hope this song does well, but who knows?
Yeah, it was totally like change your aspect, getting involved with that side of things, because like you say, you've been doing it for quite a while, and it has been, I imagine, like it started out just as a bit of fun, but as you start to get to this point where you become, like you say, more invested into the business side of things, it must just change your outlook. What do you think are like the main ways that it changes things in terms of like getting involved with the business side of things? How does that sort of affect the creativity?
That's a good question. You have to kind of learn things about the industry. So I learned so much that I didn't know, just about the kind of your strategy, like social media strategy, and then having more, it's a really simple point, but I didn't really know this before. It's just having follow-up songs. So you release a song and then you have to follow it up like within a few months, ideally a month or so, just to keep the momentum going. But I just didn't know any of these basic things. So yeah, just working on a series of songs has been useful creatively, because you have to think of the overall package.
It's interesting what you were saying there about like sort of getting you to think about your music more as a collection. Is that kind of right? Like thinking of it more as a bigger picture, because am I right in thinking that you'd mainly just been sort of releasing songs here and there? Like this was a little bit of this is this, and sort of shift around in terms of the genre.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you go on my Spotify, it's very varied. One's kind of a ambient piano piece, and then the next is like much more of a poppy song. Which I don't think is a bad thing, but I think it's definitely good in terms of building listeners and followers and stuff to have more of a consistent package of songs.
Is there a side as well that kind of like where you do want to release so much different stuff that it helps with a potential audience that's coming to your work? Do you think it potentially like helps them give more of an idea of what you're able to do, like your range of that? Or do you think it's better to sort of have more of a blinkered approach and try as soon as you can to show like one particular style? It's a bit of a difficult one because I guess that depends on your creative sort of mindset, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm not really sure, to be honest. I think if I was a listener, I'd kind of expect a certain sound after listening to, you know, a few songs. So I think it's good as an artist to explore maybe a certain genre for a little bit and maybe do a few songs. And but I'm not against changing tack. So for my next project, I kind of want to revisit old songs from a few years ago that I never released and kind of rework them. And they're a bit more stripped back. So I think it's not a bad thing to change genre. I think it's quite interesting.
It's a great segue that actually into sort of talking about how things started out for you, because you grew up in Cumbria. And whereabouts did you live?
So I actually grew up in Newcastle and then...
Oh, sorry, right.
No, so I've had a complicated moving around childhood. So grew up in Newcastle and then moved to Northumberland for like 4 years, to Hexham, and then moved to Cumbria, to Cockermouth when I was 16.
Oh, wow, right. Okay, so yeah, you'd already lived quite a while in those other places. So what was the move then, like coming to Cumbria? What, because I imagine like you'd already been in Northumberland, but it must have been quite a shift from where you started out.
Yeah, I have to say I didn't love the move as a 16-year-old, because I was coming from like a town not far from Newcastle, and I'd already lived in Newcastle and I had loads of friends there and I had loads of good memories of being in the city and everything, and then moving to Cockermouth it's a very remote place.
Yeah.
The nearest city is Carlisle, which is small, and that's like 45 minutes away. So I did find it really difficult.
Were you already sort of starting to write music around this time, or was this just something that you were kind of dabbling with or thinking about? Like what was going on at this particular time when you were 16?
So at that time, I was heavily involved in the folk scene. In the Northeast, and in Cumbria actually, but yeah, especially in the Northeast, there's a really strong folk, like traditional folk scene. So I was in lots of folk bands, doing ceilidhs and playing small gigs at weddings and things like that on the fiddle. So that's my main instrument. And I was starting to write my own songs as well. I was starting to branch out on writing things on the piano and guitar, of different styles, recording stuff on GarageBand, of course, which is, what got me into all this. Yeah, so a lot of sessions in the pub, which was good fun around that time.
Quite a sort of variation starting out from straight folk and playing the instruments that you did. It's quite a change. How was it that moving to the style that you currently do now?
Yes, definitely a change of style. The journey from that to this is, I'd say it's quite a long journey actually. It was so I went to Union Leeds and I met a producer there and we worked on this song together called The Moon and I, and that was probably my first venture into like purely electronic music, and that ended up taking off on SoundCloud and getting like 100,000 plays or something, which was incredible just as like a first song.
Pretty amazing, yeah, to just go to that with the first big tune.
Yeah, it was amazing. So that really encouraged me to carry on exploring that side of things. And then I was studying French and music. And in my music course, we were quite limited to, we had to do like avant-garde electronic composition, kind of experimental stuff, which I found really hard because I love harmonies and just like traditional, lovely sounding music.
Stuff that has a clear mood to it, whereas like with that, it's very sort of sporadic, isn't it? Like you kind of don't know where it's going.
Yeah, you don't know what to feel. Yeah, so that was hard, but it did teach me a lot about different softwares and different techniques. So I made quite a lot of ambient music, and that gave me the skills that I needed. So after finishing uni, I moved home with my parents in Cumbria and just learned more straightforward traditional music production, how to make beats and things. And then, yeah, when I was there, I just ended up staying for almost a year, actually. I planned on staying for a couple of months, and I stayed for a whole year just because I was having so much fun producing and writing songs. And that's, yeah, really where I started to experiment with electronic music even more and work on finding my own sound and experiment with different genres, just really like honing it and experimenting.
Nice, yeah.
Don't
It
think.
just sounds like it was such a great period for being able to try lots of different stuff out and sort of really find that voice that you can develop moving forward. When you go to play around with the song idea that you've got in your head, is there one particular instrument that you gravitate to first? Like, is it keyboard? Is it what is it that sort of helps you develop that voice of the song?
I go through different phases actually. So at the moment, my flat is too small for my keyboard. So I think usually it would be the keyboard, piano, but now it's the guitar or my laptop. Either piano or guitar, or a lot of times I'll be working on a song on the laptop and then I'll find a sound or a chord change or something that I really love but can't necessarily fit into that song. So then I'll start a new thing and work on that and make that into a new song. So a lot of songs kind of stem from other songs, if that makes sense.
I get you, yeah. And what comes first? The because this is always the popular question that you ask any musician. What comes first, the lyrics or the music?
For me, it's definitely the music. So, yeah, lyrics are really, really important to me, and I do spend a long time getting them right, but they are definitely second to the music. Usually I'll end up finishing the whole kind of backing to the whole track and get that perfect before I cement the lyrics in. For me, it's more about the sounds and the textures and the mood of the song, and then I'll try and work the lyrics into that. But I'll always have like the syllables that I want or the loose sounds.
It seems like such a great approach. I guess doing it that way sort of allows you to have a basic idea of where it's going, but there's also still quite a lot of looseness to it. It seems like you can take that in different directions. Has there been a song that you've started working on and you've found it taking one shape, but then you've taken it in a completely different direction to the way that you started it out?
I would actually say most songs are like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. I think I usually start off with something a bit more unconventional. And then by the time you've spent all these hours producing it and working on it, it usually ends up more poppy and a bit more straight down the middle, if you know what I mean. But
Really?
originally, the idea in my head is a bit less conventional.
Does it always come out in a good way, or do you sometimes find yourself when you hear the finished thing, and you're just kind of like, oh, okay, that happened?
No, I'm always really into what I'm doing. If I'm not into it, then I'll probably just stop doing it. So no, I really enjoy going down that road. But sometimes you do listen back to first drafts or like first ideas and you're like, oh, that had something that I don't have anymore. But then when you try and get it back, it's always so hard. I think in my own songwriting, I tend to take on this persona which is a bit more strong than I am in real life and tends to be in the things that I'm drawn to writing about. I don't know, it tends to be a bit angry, a bit more forceful than I am in normal life. So yeah,
Well,
kind of
that's
the
quite
complete inverse.
interesting then, because you come across as like a very sort of chill, calm person. I can't really imagine like this great anger coming out.
It's not a great anger, it's more just like Kitchen Tiles, for example, is all about the other person, not like, say it wasn't actually a real situation, just an imagined one, but it was about the other person in the relationship kind of not shaping up and they've lost their spark and they won't dance like they used to. And I'm singing from the perspective of someone who's just like, oh, pull yourself together, come on. And I think that is quite common in what I'm writing. It's never my fault, it's always the other person's fault.
That's quite interesting then. When you're writing the lyrics for that, have you got to be in a particular... When you're writing lyrics just in general, have you got to be in a particular kind of headspace to write? Because you often hear that about singer-songwriters saying, oh, well, I've got to be in a sad place, in an angry place, or I've just got to be happy to be able to express myself lyrically. Do you have a preference, or can you just write whenever?
I try to write all the time, but I definitely am better at writing. It comes more easily if I am sad or heartbroken, or if something's gone wrong. Definitely way easier to write about. Yeah, I find it hardest when I'm just pretty content and happy. I've been recently just kind of like trying to imagine certain situations if I don't directly feel them, because obviously lockdown wasn't giving us very much material to write about. So yeah, a few songs have been imagining, well, they stem from real life things, but then I kind of exaggerate them and then turn them into more of a dramatic story.
I guess you're right. Like, there's only so much that can be said about live streaming and putting posts up on social media and that kind of thing. It was kind of limited in that respect, but now people are sort of going back to life, you know, back on the streets and that kind of thing, sort of almost pretending like the thing's kind of blown over. Are you finding yourself like rushing back into things? Like, are you wanting to go back into like partying with friends and that sort of stuff, or are you just sort of enjoying being a little bit more insular?
Oh no, I'm straight back into it.
Straight back into it.
Yeah, I'm taking full advantage. It's great. I'm loving it. I miss dancing so, so much. So I'm dancing at every opportunity now. It's strange in London though, because it's not like going out in Cockermouth where you have one street of bars. It's
Well, yeah, where you're just going to the local where Derek, who's 70, has been going all his life and that kind of thing. not very many dancing opportunities, is there?
Oh, there's some good spots in Cockermouth actually.
Oh really?
Because it's so far away from, I mean, it's quite close to Workington, but relatively far away from other places.
God, really? There's a bit of a scene there, you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a party scene in Cockermouth. My goodness. Might have to go and check it out sometime when I've got a free minute.
Yeah, you should. I love going home so much. So yeah, when I was saying before, like, I hated the transition from, you know, like more city life to Cumbria. That changed as soon as I went to uni and I came back. I fell in love with it, really.
It's just something that you go through, isn't it? Like, you hate it at that moment where you don't know any different, but you go away and then you just kind of like don't realize what you had till it's gone, kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Because I found the same as well. Like, I certainly was sort of beginning to realize that I wasn't quite enjoying living where I live as much as I do, because I'm also in quite a isolated sort of area as well. But then I went to university and then I just couldn't wait to get back home. It was always that case, and I wasn't even that far away. But
where did you go?
Just Preston, and Preston. Oh, yeah. So I was there at UCLan, but I all the time I just couldn't wait to get back. Are you have you got another visit back on the cards, or are you giving it some time?
I was there actually last week.
Oh, you were there last week.
Yeah. It was really nice, despite the weather was awful. But
yeah, it was tragic then, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just cloud and rain. I'll try and get back there maybe soon. But no, it is exciting living in London, just where everything's happening. So it's a nice contrast.
It gives you that sort of perfect, I don't know, I guess like a sort of yin and yang balance. Like, you have all of the busyness, the vibes, the music scene and all that of London, and then you come back to the Lake District, and it is a bit quieter, but like you say, where you are in Cockermouth, it sounds like there's still plenty of influence to be had, you know, whether it's just from live music or what have you. You've got that balance.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Are you working towards like playing any live gigs at the moment, or is it something that you're just keeping on the back burner?
It's something that I've had on the back burner for years, really. I'm at the moment, I'm looking for the right people to play with me in a little band. But yeah, it's just been something that I've never quite gotten there, if you know what I mean. I don't know if it's nerves or I'm too much of a perfectionist or what, but I've always said, yeah, this is the time where I'm going to get my life set together and I'm going to stop performing. And then I never get around to it almost. Because I love sitting in my room and writing and producing, and that's how I love spending my time. Whereas the thought of like actually putting a set together and practicing and getting gigs, it's a lot of effort and it's a lot of work. But I will do it.
It's one of those. It's working towards, you know, we'll get there eventually.
And I'll get there.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing as well is just sort of like the dynamic of working with other people when you've spent so long being very independent and you've got your own sort of strategy and stuff. That, I think, must be the most difficult part whenever someone makes that transition.
I'm quite looking forward to actually working with other people and collaborating more after having done everything completely on my own for so long. I'm quite looking forward to that, taking some of the pressure off. As you say, it might be quite hard to relinquish control. I haven't taken all the decisions myself for so long, but I think I'm ready for it.
I think it's been a really cool chat. Thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything else that you want to mention before we wrap up?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that I've got another song coming out in like mid-September called Eyeliner. So that's my next one.
Awesome.
A bit more emotional, stripped back. But yeah, look out for that.
Will do, will do. So that'll be available everywhere, won't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, and we'll make sure to link all of your socials in the description for it, and so everyone can find the updates about that. And finally, the last thing that we always talk about right at the end is just wondered if you had a piece of like one lucrative piece of advice that you could give to someone that's listening, that's maybe thinking about taking their music writing, something that they've been doing. It started out as a hobby, but now they're just wanting to try and push it to that next level. Is there some advice that you could give to someone listening like that?
I would say learning to produce is a really important thing. If you want to just have some fun with your songwriting and explore different sounds and get really sucked into the whole process. Because I think a lot of people, especially women, feel like they can't produce music because of the stereotypes. But yeah, I think if you can make a demo, just keep going and just have fun with it. That would be my one piece of advice, because it's changed my whole process so much.
I guess that is the takeaway in a way, isn't it? From this chat that we've had, is just you know, stick at it, persevere, and always remain ready for new opportunities, that kind of thing, would you say?
Definitely, yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that is a fantastic wrap. Well, there you go, another fantastic guest and another fantastic episode as well. Make sure to go and check out Mabe and show her some love. I've linked all of her details and what have you in the episode notes for this one, so definitely go and check her out. If you've really enjoyed listening to this episode and you're a newcomer to the Lucrative Podcast, then maybe consider subscribing, following, showing some love to me as well, and getting one step ahead of the game. So when that next episode drops, you can join in on all the fun that we have on here every Saturday. I'm also on Instagram. You can find me at Luke Smithhurst Audio, and also on Facebook, where you can find the official Lucrative with Luke Smithhurst Facebook page as well for the podcast. So go and check that out. Drop it a like. Follow me on Instagram. And yeah, that'll be nice, wouldn't it? I'll be back with another episode next weekend, and I hope you have a great week. Stay humble, stay open to new opportunities and all that kind of thing. And I'll catch you in the next episode.